Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I got some of the bad boys here with me. Sin City Steve, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How y'all doing?
We doing great. Matt Michaels.
Doing good. I'm very excited. We have on the line Sweet Brown Sugar. He was a great wrestler here, competing in the 1970s throughout the 80s, Florida Championship Wrestling. He did die on December 3rd, 2010.
So he's back from the grave.
Oh.
So we got that clairvoyant shit going on?
Fuck.
Yeah.
Well,
who do we really have, D?
All right, D, hit the closing music. We're done.
I know, right? Well, we do have Sugar Brown, not Sweet Sugar Brown, but we do have Sugar Brown on the line with his partner Clutch from Future Stars of Wrestling, RMB, the Real Money Brothers, a.k.a. the Bonus Boy. That's who we got on the line right now. Good, man. How you do?
Good today, man. Laying back.
So I guess the first question is, how did you guys, I mean, we can go into full backstories, you know, and go into all that, but I'm really more interested right now on how did you get together as a tag team?
You want to start that one?
Yeah, I can start it. Honestly, the way we started teaming is, Sugar Brown himself has been with FSW since the beginning, so I moved here 7 years ago to Future Stars Wrestling for an opportunity. So basically we're doing our singles thing, and the real story to be real is everyone thought we looked like each other. and we'd always kick it with each other too. So everyone would always be like, "Oh, what's up with the Carmel brothers and stuff?" So that's how it started. Before in the ring is just being together, and people say we look like brothers and family and stuff like that.
Did you guys?
Yes, sir.
Did you? I mean, so Clutch, you moved here. Sugar, did you feel like this was something that was an opportunity that you saw to take, you know, someone who you obviously liked, you got along with, I hope. and become a tag team, you know, did you see anything in his potential having the years under your belt, Sugar?
Oh, for sure. So, coming up in FSW, I was at the time when right before me and him started tagging, I had another tag partner. We were Sweet and Sour. That was Saiku. But I had been doing tag teams for almost my whole career in FSW, so I've been a part of a few of them. Hater Nation, Dangerously Delightful, to take it way back, Downtown Vegas. But me and Clutch, like, through training and hanging out, you know what I mean, with the boys, like, we just had a chemistry, we connected. And even, you know, at training and stuff, we would talk about it sometimes, even though I was still in the tag team, he was doing a singles thing or whatever, but, you know, it was an ongoing joke that the Carmel brothers were going to link up. we kind of got into Joe's ear about it. Saiku had a back injury, and he had to stay out for quite a while, so I was in the Dynasty at that time, and then Dynasty kind of imploded, and
we were
then
both floating.
Yeah, we were both kind of floating on the singles scene. So we decided to tag up. We talked to Joe, made it happen and jumped in that tag division.
It actually started with a beef, though, in at the FSW. The way we started as a team is we were beefing it. We had wrestled each other, I think, two times before, and we had a match, and we were beefing it, and from there we became like one of those things where you respect each other, and then became a team from there. But it was very cutting, like, it was very like he was doing his boxing. He's a boxer, and I'm a former football player, so it wasn't what you see today.
Definitely wasn't the bonus.
What?
We were just punching sticks around then.
What? How long did it take you guys to find that feel of what the tag team would become?
I'd say about 6 months to really like understand what it was that we were. You know what I mean? Because I think that as you're a singles guy or as you've been running your own thing for a long time, you kind of have this self-identity. But when you click up with somebody, man, it's got to work. There has to be chemistry. It's like playing sports, playing basketball. There's got to be chemistry.
It's like a partnership, man. It's a partnership, for real.
You got to be able to understand each other. You got to be able to look each other in the eyes and know what the other person is thinking, you know what I mean, especially in that ring. So it took a little while for us to figure that out, but like he said, man, we just started kicking it. We clicked really good, man, and then just started flowing. Eventually, it just started flowing.
Who were some of your biggest influences coming up?
Are we talking from being children, or are we talking in the business in itself?
Let's go back to when you were kids, and then let's go on to who in the business have been influences then.
Okay, for sure. So for myself, man, I go way back to when I was a little kid, man. Junkyard Dog was the man. Ricky Steamboat was the man. Macho Man. I mean, you have all those great ones back then, man. I had a big influence when I was a teenager, man. The Rock. He was always my biggest influence as a teenager, man, in high school. Him and I liked Stone Cold a lot. I didn't like HBK at that time, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, D'Lo Brown. I really like the Nation of Domination, man. I like what they were bringing to the table. Seeing D'Lo and Mark Henry as a tag team was really dope. You?
For myself, growing up, I got introduced to wrestling probably when I was like 3, but I don't remember it like to the point where I got invested. So like I remember like the Ultimate Warriors and Hulk Hogan's and Macho Man's of the world. When I started getting to the age of getting emotionally invested in pro wrestling, Shawn Michaels did it for me. Yeah. My brother always rooted for Brett. And, just because I felt like Shawn, I mean, he gets his props, but he just tells a great story, man.
Yeah.
And he just, you feel his pain. And when he's, you know, when he's winning, you feel it. When he loses, you feel it too.
Yeah.
Influences, honestly, as an adult, when I got to be like 25, or no, I was like 21, I was only, funny thing for me, my mom wasn't really a big fan of wrestling, so she like banned it from the house. Like, yeah, we used to, it was funny, we used to have to go over to the homie's house and sneak watch it and stuff. It's crazy. Yeah, for real, right? It's funny to think about it now, but, so my knowledge of pro wrestling, even at 20 years old, was very, you know, small. Like WWE, I didn't even know about New Japan. But I'll never forget my friend hooking me up with a TNA box set, and I had no idea what it was about. And after I saw AJ Styles, man, that made me want to become a pro wrestler. Like Shawn Michaels made me love pro wrestling, I guess you could say. But AJ Styles, how just everything about him, how he put a match together, just the stories, the roller coaster rides, and just his presence made me feel like, hey, maybe I want to do that. And it just, that's a big one for me. Like Shug said, D'Lo Brown was big influence watching it as a kid, but also running into him in the business, he's been a big influence on us as characters and just giving us great knowledge, man. Like, you run into some good people in the business. So you hear a lot of bad stories about running into don't meet your heroes, but there's a couple of good people out there that'll, that'll at least won't throw you that vet bullshit, that they'll at least try to help you pave your way, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Most definitely. Now, how did you guys get into the business? Obviously, we just talked about what got you excited about professional wrestling. How did you guys get your start, respectively?
So I didn't even want to be a pro wrestler, man. Like, I came up.
About the karate.
Yeah, well, no. Nah, when I was, you know, I was like seven, man. I wanted to be a ninja when I grew up. You know what I mean? Prior to pro wrestling, I was rapping. I was doing a whole bunch of other stuff. But in about 2007, I think it was, one of my homeboys that I went to high school with, he wrestled for a while. His name was Kid Showtime. He told me about a wrestling school that was going on out here. Because back in the day, we used to go to UWF, where Rush had his promotion. And it would be Legacy up there, Funny Bone, all these dudes when they were super, super young, killing their bodies for the business out there. watching Funny Bone kick through stop signs and stuff. But he had told me about a school that was going on out here. I went out to watch him do it because he had always told me, like, man, I want to be like Rey Mysterio, man. I want to be a pro wrestler. I want to be a WWE and all that stuff. So I went to go just support my friend, honestly. And, you know, I always loved professional wrestling when I was a kid, when I was coming up. I just didn't realize how much of an influence it had on my life, I guess. So,
yeah.
When I went down there, I was sitting there watching, and I just had this itch, man. And I was like, I cannot just sit here and watch this. Like, I got to get in this ring and try this out because I think I can do this. You know what I mean? So I talked to the right people, and I got signed up. So the next week, I came down, and I tried out for about a month, and then I quit after I threw up. Because I was severely out of shape at the time, man.
Who knows what you're getting yourself into?
I think
people don't understand. You don't know what you're getting yourself into when you first do it, man. It happened to me. Same thing, man. You don't know.
But about a year and some change later, another school opened up. BCW that Legacy was running, and I went over there, checked it out again, and then went back the next week, signed up, and it's been a history from there. So,
who was your who were your main trainers when you started out?
Originally, for me, it was Legacy.
Okay.
And then Remy Marcel came in, and he just we were doing a training drill. Our boy Scotty Ice, he was running training too at the time. But we were doing this training drill, and I don't know, we were running through everything, and by the time we got to the end of it, Remy was just like, "Man, I see something in you, man. I'm gonna come back," because he was living in New Jersey at the time. He was like, "I'm going to come back, man, and we're going to create this team, man. Let's stick with each other." And at first, I was just like, "Man, let's see if this dude even rolls back around." I mean, but sure enough, man, he came back, and we just, from there, we've kind of created a team. It's a lot of influences. Him and Jack Manley, especially, had definitely big hands in developing us. Kenny King, for sure. Disco Inferno was another big one. D'Lo Brown, of course. I mean, he had a pretty large hand in things getting going and speaking up for us. I mean, there's so many people, man. Sin Bodhi, everybody that's been a part of the FSW training locker room has definitely been an influence. At least from the prior days of the last era of young guys that were coming in, but definitely more recently, it's been like your Remy Marcells, your D'Lo Browns. Those people have definitely helped guide us in pro wrestling game. Kenny King has helped guide us in the pro wrestling game. Jack Manley, even when we were out wrestling for the WC, West Coast Wrestling Connection, Gangrel, man. Extensive knowledge, man. One of the boys, he's humble, man, and he definitely, if he likes you, he's going to reach out and try to help you.
Man, he still bombs like it's 96, bro.
Just make sure make sure you guys don't get a bloodbath then. What would you say between the two of you, what would you say is the thing that makes your tag team work? Is it your friendship? Is it the, you know, being aware of each other in the ring? Is it just the natural gravitation to the characters that you're presenting? What is it that makes you guys click as a team?
All that, man. All that and more. You have to. I mean, do you agree, bro? Like, you can't just say one thing. Like, you have to have. Everything's got to click. You got to have. It's a funny thing. So, like, when we first started teaming, I was doing the football form of kind of. Because I played football and basketball when I. As a kid and into high school, but that's kind of the gimmick I was doing as a singles worker. And he was doing the boxing thing, so we went the same colors with the gold, but he'd still wear the boxing trunks and I'd still wear the football pants. But one thing, I'll have to give him credit, Remy Etch, like, was really adamant with us about it. It's like, hey man, you guys need to look the same. Like, yeah. You gotta be, like, I understand you're
a unit.
Yeah, you got to be a unit.
The unit.
He was just more like, at that point, everyone knew he was a boxer. Everyone knew I did the football thing. So we didn't need to get that point across. What we needed to get a point across was that we were, like you said, a unit and had with chemistry from the curtain to the last bell, and that's what it's got to be. And I feel like a lot of the best tag teams in the world right now have that. Young Bucks,
that's for sure.
Briscoes, God,
G.O.D., Usos,
all those guys.
All of them.
You believe it. Believability. It's all those things I feel like a team needs. I don't hate it, but one thing that I wish that didn't happen as much nowadays is makeshift tag teams.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like two good workers can make it happen, but why put the energy in that? Why don't you just go all in? That's what I always tell any of the young wrestlers, up-and-comers that want advice about tag teams. That's the one thing I always tell them. I'm like, if you really want this, you need to commit to this and make sure that you're willing to be not selfless, not selfish. You can't be selfish and be in a tag team.
Right.
That's real tough.
Well, I think
at least it's awesome. I mean, you can be, and I feel like you won't be successful, but I feel like all the best sacrifice and for the team, and that's what I feel like it needs to be.
I think you hit on a very good point, and that is putting two, you know, people just randomly together. It's just lazy booking. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it comes down to.
I don't think you can word it any better than that.
Yeah. With the scene and tag teams, I mean, you just named a handful of amazing tag teams.
I forgot to sorry to interrupt, Rascals. We had a great match. I like those guys. I forgot to mention them. They're great.
They're one of
the three.
Yeah, they're one of our favorites. I mean, I like Wentz a lot, but Trey and Dez, what they can do and their storytelling abilities, fucking amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
So
a lot of attention to detail.
Yeah, exactly. If you guys had to choose right now, if you guys had the opportunity, what tag team really draws you in the most? What would you like to see, you know, if you had almost a dream match, what would it be?
Can we give two? Because there's too many. That
yeah.
You can't give one. Can we give two? I'll give one and he'll give one.
Yep.
All right. Mine is G.O.D.
Okay.
I think what Tama Tonga's been doing.
Oh, yeah.
And his brother going with them, and the teamwork is what they're doing right now in the tag team is scary.
They're really underrated, too.
Yep.
They are, too. They are. It's because people need to get up on that New Japan world.
For sure.
I kind of got a toss-up, man. There's too many good teams out there, but it's either between the Usos and the Young Bucks, man. I think maybe with the Young Bucks, because it's such a contrast in style.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The one that I'd probably rather go with, but I'd definitely love to go at it with the Usos.
Yeah, the Usos, I think, hands down. G.O.D. and the Usos are two really good answers because it's a match of styles. The Young Bucks would be interesting to see that different clash, you know, going on of two different styles. And to still be able to tell the story would be phenomenal. And we're just going to have to, you know, push AEW into the right direction to get this happening. Man.
Right? Exactly.
Right, we free agents, you know.
So, just a quick question: as far as independent wrestling scene right now in the U.S., almost feels like as if it's just a giant game of can you top this when it comes to high spots, and a lot of guys, for better or worse, are showing, you know, less and less regard for themselves and their future careers. What do you guys think about that aspect of the business?
Well,
you should answer that one. I'm the one that's diving over the top rope. So. letting all these young people know I can still do it. You know what I mean? 33 is still young, man. You know?
Hell yeah, it is.
So, I mean, it's kind of a catch-22, man, because, I mean, pro wrestling is evolving for sure. It's a different game right now than it's been. And I think from the time that we were coming up, it's changed a lot. So just in the way that people receive wrestling, they don't receive it as much through television as they do through a phone or a tablet or whatever. Like, everything is in social media in front of you, and everything's more accessible now. So we're starting to see a lot more. Everybody's trying to go viral out here. But I think it's a matter of being able to adapt and evolve with the game, but being able to stay who you are and to be able to show who you are as a character and as a package to everybody without trying to do the same gimmick that everybody else is doing. Like, I'm not really trying to go up.
Sugar's a nice one. There's a lot of biters out there. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people not unoriginal. So
yeah, I mean, everybody's trying to copy what everybody else is doing and then trying to top that.
Not saying I'm not going to sit here and say we're unoriginal, but at least we'll say where our influences come from. Like, we used to watch the old Mustafa and New Jack.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, like, when we first started coming out with our grittiness, we were watching a lot of them. Harlem Heat.
Yep.
Is our camera work and stuff like that in the Roamers. But a lot of people, I feel like, and it's not like you got to kiss ass, but I feel like there's a lot of biting and not a lot of recognition.
Right.
Maybe that's how I feel, but.
Yeah, I think it's just it's a game that has to be evolved and adapted to. There's nothing that we can do about how people are wrestling out there. I just pray that everybody stays safe out there. Quit trying to kill yourself so much. But, you know what I mean?
I can't hate on the spot, though, man. Some of the things that these guys can do athletically is impressing. So
definitely.
I'd be a hypocrite if I'm sitting there yelling at them like it. Because back in the day, like Shug was saying, when we came up, like, the OGs were yelling at us about that shit.
Right.
Especially if you're doing it in the beginning of the show.
Right.
If we're, I mean, you OG. I mean, I guess I'm... I feel like now if I were to yell at a kid, it's hating. So I don't want to be a hater on his craft.
Definitely.
Because I feel like everyone should have, you know, let their craft be their craft, but, you know, there's some dangerous stuff, but, you know, professional wrestling for a reason, I feel, on that one.
And plus, I think there's room for everything, man. Like, yep. There's so many different styles out there now. Like, if you want to go watch hardcore wrestling, you can go watch hardcore wrestling. If you want to watch strong style, you can go watch strong style. If you want to watch comedy. You can watch that. I mean, everything is out there. So, I mean, I think that honestly, the more that everything is being seen, the better it is for the business, and ultimately, more people or more workers are making money out there, and that's the important thing. We're starting to make money, being taken care of, and there's options for people.
Without a doubt.
Do you guys think that with those types of spots, and like you said, you don't want to hate on it, which is totally respectable, because I think that there are things that you see that are, you know, you just kind of are amazed that a human being is able to do certain things. But with right. that said, do you think that some of the younger wrestlers now, maybe under the influence of older wrestlers who get it, you know, the maturity is there, that incorporating those types of moves into a legitimate story in the ring is something mm-hmm. that, you know, is kind of headed a little more towards that. Because I think, you know, you can, you know, look at matches where it is just spot monkey matches and there's yeah. no rhyme or reason. But the good matches and the teams who seem to get it, like the Young Bucks you guys were talking about, you know, those guys, they get it. They get the storytelling and they put the spots in terms of getting the story, you know, furthered. Is that something that you guys look at as being important, and how do you guys approach that if someone in a match, you know, you're talking to a tag team, and especially on the indie circuit, you might have only have, you know, met these guys once before. How do you guys, you know, gel their ideas into a match?
Well, let me first by saying I'm glad you brought up the Young Bucks again, because I wanted to say, because they, you know, over time it's been less and less, but back 5 years ago they were called Spot Monkeys, but they're not the one that just happened, but the last show, AEW show, where they had the match with the Lucha Brothers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought they told a great story with the, hey, we haven't been training with each other for a while.
Yep.
We have some miscommunication. I felt like that, nothing, I mean, Cody Rhodes and Goldust was my opinion match of the night, but
yeah.
the storytelling the Bucks did was great. So I feel like guys like that help lead the way for, I feel like, a wave of guys that are going to take these
right.
spot monkey titles and go, hey, I got some, because there is psychology to it. The Young Bucks yep. have psychology to their stuff. Now, you're right, there's a lot of people that don't, but you as an onlooker, not you guys being fans and onlookers, you could see that.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, and I mean, if you look at guys like our homie Chris Bay,
Damian Drake,
mm-hmm. those are a couple of guys that you know, we've had a hand in helping come up, and
they throw their own flavor.
They want a high fly, you know what I mean? But they definitely tell a story. They definitely make sense for what they're doing in the ring, and I mean, I think there's a lot of that. It's just so saturated that we see everything. We see all the bad stuff with the good. You know what I mean?
Well, I think one of the things that I'm glad you brought up those two names, because those two guys, and I'm glad that you said that you guys have kind of helped, you know, cradle them along and give them a little, you know, oomph here and there and little ideas, and because they are so creative, but the best thing they do is they sell fucking everything.
Yeah, definitely.
They better sell everything.
But they, you know, they've learned it.
There's been a few of us that have had hands with them. We've just, because Damian Drake is went with us to China, and Chris was around. Chris was around us when he first started up. So in the Nino. So now they're. I really enjoy watching their matches. Like I said, I mean, I like all their cool moves and stuff. But you're right. Like, they sell their ass off, but for me as a mentor, they better sell. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's important. It's important today too, man. I mean, it's important in the game period. We have to do that, or else what are we doing? You know what I mean?
Right.
So
they're athletic dudes, but they're not big dudes. So why, you know, you can't. I'm going to hit you, you're going to suck.
Well, and you know what's really interesting too, again, you brought up a very good point. They're not big dudes. What really plays, and this is the theory of movies. The reason that movies, you go to a big screen to watch a film, is because it blows that image up and you can convey something by just a look in your eyes. And I think that Chris and Damian are a great example, and you guys do this as well, where something happens and your face is telling the story, whether it be, you know, a simple look, you know, to your partner, or a simple, you know, just a reaction to something that just happened, instead of just letting the move happen and haphazardly going into the next move. It's a great way of telling the story. And that little facial, when you're talking something on camera, it plays almost a million times more impactive than, you know, a hurricanrana into, you know, a frog splash into, you know, just move after move after move.
Man, I see you with your wrestling shit, man.
I know. My man, wrestling IQ kind of high.
Yeah. You're not one of those, oh, cool entrance, let me look at my phone right now. It has to be. One thing even the OGs in the pro wrestling game always say, be larger in life, man. You can't be larger in life if you're not expressive with everything
and paying attention to detail.
Exactly.
Yep.
Look how you just broke down everything. And most people would probably, uneducated, would probably be like, oh, people don't pay attention like that. But look at what you just did right now. You broke down how looking to a partner in the story you can tell from that, you know? See, like, people, that is... What you brought up is a good thing, that I feel like that's a very underestimated part of the game, right?
Yep. Sure. And I think that's...
I appreciate
it. Well, you know what, and I think that... But that's the thing that... And I hope that if anyone's listening who haven't seen you guys wrestle, who haven't seen a Chris Bay or Damian Drake or, you know, tons of any of the names from FSW... you know, yeah. And Sin is a great example too. I mean, everything Sin does, you know, from the first moment you see him to the last moment you see him, there is intention behind every single thing that is done. And that is, you know, sometimes a lost art form when you're looking at, you know, people bitching and complaining about WWE TV. Well, one of the reasons people are complaining they don't know it is because that is the art that is lost when you're dealing with 5 hours of TV a week plus NXT plus this and that, and you lose those stories that really need to be told. But you know, you're under that 5 minutes or that 3 minutes, or you know, where guys are, you know, it's just disinteresting to the audience because guys are not putting that time in. And I really, again, I just appreciate what you guys do because of that fact that from the minute you guys enter, the minute you guys leave, you are those characters and you're in that moment, and nothing that, you know, there's not a minute where you guys lose that focus. And that's what is so impressive in terms of you guys being a solid tag team that I think, you know, is a tag team that people should really care about and invest in, because you give us that opportunity to.
Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate that, man. I mean, I think it's funny, as a boxing style wrestler, It's funny because when I used to be in the ring when we were working with Paragon Pro Wrestling, Matt Stryker came up to me. He's like, man, you a boxer, right? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, why you keep putting your guard down? And I'm like, oh, man. You know what I mean? But it's like, because you're trying to blend so many things, your attention to details, and you know what I'm saying. You start acquiring this knowledge, and you get a little bit of these gems from these veterans that are in these locker rooms or in these and working in production or wherever at these places that you're working in. It's all these little things, man. You get so much from so many different places, and you start putting that all in line, and the puzzle pieces just start coming together.
Yeah, Phil is going off stuff is good with Phil, but you need an onlooker to see it from that perspective to help you complete the puzzle.
Yeah.
That's why, like Remy, like we mentioned before, Remy Marcel and Jack Manley have been really good with us. They've because we'd be like, oh, we're missing something. And they'd be like, hey, man, maybe you try this. And then it'd be like, I don't know about that. And be like, nah, man, just try it. All right, man, I'll go out there and try it. And then when you do, you come through the curtain and they look at you and be like, what do you think? I'm like, all right, man, you're fine.
You're right.
Definitely. And so a little bit ago, you mentioned your trip to China with OWE. If you could do me a favor, just let the listeners know how that came about, and also what your experience was like wrestling in China at the Shaolin Temple.
Okay. So Remy and Jack had gone out there first. I don't really know how the connection came about.
There's this guy, his name's Yan Chow. He's a representative of OWE, but he actually lives and has family here in Las Vegas. He came to FSW to look for pro wrestling, and then Remy stumbled upon him.
So Remy and Jack had their little run out there for a month, and when they came back, OWE was looking for more talent. FSW, they had talked with FSW. Yeah, it's probably about 2 months, some change. But they, you know, they had talks with FSW. Joe was sending a couple of guys out there, but they were holding a little bit of a, I guess you could say, a tryout. And we went and did the thing, and they wanted us to go. So it was pretty much, you guys need to get your passports and visas ready to go, because we're probably going to call you and give you a 2-day notice to jump on the plane.
Everything happened that. From meeting them to going to China, I don't think it was longer than a month.
Oh, damn.
I could be wrong, maybe 2 months, but it was quick, because we left here 4/20/2018.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
So, the experience out there, man, especially Shaolin Temple, that was the first show that we did out there. Man, that was it was great. Not including waking up at 5:30 in the morning to go to the Shaolin Temple the same day as the show.
I was hating that.
Man, was grumpy.
But like, it's one of those things that like everything around it was cool. Like everything you were seeing was cool, because you know you see stuff in movies, you never think you'd see it in person. But when it's like 6 o'clock in the morning, I ain't trying to appreciate that. You know, for me. Show day, game day is game day. I like to get my sleep. I like to be in the zone.
Yeah, but I was hyped, man. this dude, he was hating, like, but I was hyped, man. I grew up watching all the Chinese martial arts flicks, man, and watching Bruce Lee as a kid and all that stuff. So, to me, I was like, man, I'm about to go experience some of this thing.
Yeah, like, we walked in, like, the actual temple, like, where people, only privileged people can walk, because the owner of OWE has, like, a connection somehow.
And he used to work and be a part of the temple out there. But, wow. Or some years back.
So we saw, like, monks, like, real monks, like, in their formation.
You know how you used to see, if you ever watched some old Chinese martial arts flicks, and you see a whole bunch of students in, like, a big old courtyard.
Yeah.
Martial arts, bro, it was like crazy. It was crazy.
Wow.
That's where a lot of the students, because a lot of the OWE students were the cream of the crop at a Shaolin school. So they'd go to a Shaolin school and pick the cream of the crop and then take, you know what I mean? That's how that was explained to us, is that wow. where they got it.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome.
But the wrestling there was great, man. Being able to go in front of a foreign crowd where you don't speak the language, and then still being able to communicate with them through the art form that you do.
Even the crazier thing is, in China, it's not like Japan and stuff like that. Like China, wrestling's kind of outlawed. Like the WWE Network's blocked out there, so
right.
we're not. Yeah. It's not wrestling in front of a crowd that knows what pro wrestling is. It's wrestling in front of a crowd that only sees real fighting, like Shaolin. So it's really, hey, this is like. It's like a what do you call it, like a ventriloquist? It was kind of like playing the strings big time because we were, you know, foreigners, so we were the bad guys. So they really got they were really shocked in Suge and I's presence because no one looks like us there. So
yeah.
they were
right.
Like,
right. Yeah.
You know, and they were just, they couldn't say, but that's where the concept of Real Money Brothers came about, because when we went out there,
they couldn't say bonus boy.
So, and their form of currency out there is an RMB.
It's called renminbi, but it's called RMB yeah. for short. And we were walking one day, and we were just like, they kept on calling us Money Brothers, Money Brothers, yeah. Money Brothers. So
yeah, they always call us the Money Brothers. Yeah.
We were walking one day, and it was us and Remy and Jack, and we looked at each other, and we were like, aren't we play off of their money, something like that. Yeah. It's like, real money brothers.
That's awesome.
What was that like then? Because you said, like, you were walking with Remy and Jack. What was the state of being in China? Was it fairly restrictive? Did you guys get a lot of, you know, lookers, because, like you said, they have not seen people like you? Did you get any pieces of ass out there?
Well, not Sugar Brown. He'd have married one in the group.
I'll say that Shanghai is
where we lived.
The place where we lived and where the school was, it was mainly Chinese, so it was kind of like normal, I guess, it wasn't even suburban, because it was like, they were going through construction the whole year we were out there fixing it up. But so where we were staying at was predominantly just a lot of Chinese people. When you go downtown Shanghai, it was more Western, so you'd see Nigerian and all
Europeans and some Americans
like and your boy Clutch is single, so yeah, I definitely had dabbled up in
but it was definitely a culture shock going out there. Being used to jumping in a car and riding around anywhere that you go changes, and that comes to a complete halt, man.
Jumping in a taxi and hoping that Google Translate
is your best friend.
Big time. Google Translate got me food, made sure I could, because you just show that, you know, in Google Translate, they don't speak the language, and Chinese is a language where you can't even decipher what they're saying. Like, there's multiple times where we see what we thought was heated arguments that was translated to us as, no, they're just talking about breakfast.
Shit.
Doesn't look like they're talking about breakfast.
But yeah, like, trying to move around the city was different. You had to walk, or you had to go and jump on a train or get a taxi. Training out there was definitely
They don't play no games out there.
Yeah. There's no games played at all, man. Like, from the first day that we went out there, is running and squats, and you know what I mean, and helping train up a lot of the young Chinese guys that are over there, and helping them understand how pro wrestling works. You know what I mean? So
teaching English too. It's It's crazy, man. A lot of the work out there was body language because we couldn't speak. We had a translator, but you know, when you're out there, you can't. It's just you have to have body language. It's all body language. So I have to give those kids credit that they learned. A lot of them learned that, and that we could communicate without speaking. And then eventually, like, you know, with being around each other all the time, there would be like, you know, just like how Shug and I have our thing. If we, so there's a couple guys that we've done a lot of matches with out there, like Ben and
Junjin,
stuff like that. Like, you just find chemistry with. And honestly, that's one thing I'll say about OWE, is I hope the world gets to see the Chinese kids and what they bring to the table, because they're the talent that they have, and we're talking about from the ages of like 17 to like 26.
Yeah.
And like some, and we were out there for pretty much a year, so there's like where we saw 17 years old that weren't even to my shoulder that I'm looking eye to eye with when I'm leaving in December. Oh, you know, man. What I mean, like they're growing, you know what I mean, like and like all skinny, and then, you know, looking at us being like, oh, you're big, and how do I get big? And, you know, you just give them some advice about, you know, work out and eat, and then you find out they've been doing 3 days, and chest is all popping out.
Yeah, them kids got no quit, man. They're no dedicated, quit, for sure. For sure. Shout out to all the OWE, all the OWE roster, man. We miss them dudes, man. Yeah. They're definitely brothers to us, man.
Yeah, even the Japanese guys, Sima.
Yeah, strong hearts, for sure.
London men.
I mean, and shout out to Sima, too, because he gave us a dope opportunity to be able to go to Japan and wrestle for Wrestle One. So.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that it's really cool that with the advent of AEW, that now we're starting to see those OWE talents. I mean, they've had OWE names on the roster every single show that they've had, so that's huge.
Yeah, definitely.
So
the only ones they're missing are the two we're talking to right now.
I know.
That's what we got to get. Yeah. We got to get you guys for on sure. AEW, man.
That's right.
Yeah, I definitely like what's going on in AEW, but the road there will not be going through OWE, but hopefully we find that road somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. So really quick, and this will be really fun with the both of you guys on here. We're going to do some word association, and I'm just going to say a name of somebody in the business or promotion, something along those lines. And I just want for either one of you guys just to spit out the first thing that comes to your mind whenever I say these things. And we're going to do this for 70 seconds. All right, you guys ready?
Yep.
All right, let's do it.
Sin City Steve, 70 deadly seconds starts now.
Future stars of wrestling.
Home.
The following.
Competition.
Whirlwind Gentlemen.
Mentors.
Chris Bay.
Future.
Damian Drake.
More of the future.
West Coast Wrestling Connection.
Conquered.
Gangrel.
Straight up G.
Sin Bodhi.
Weird.
Kenny King.
Man,
that's the originator of the bonus boy name right there.
Yeah. Disco Inferno.
Underrated, man.
Hella.
Yeah.
The Rascals.
Talented.
The Usos.
The dream match.
All right, there we go. Awesome. Awesome.
So as we wind down, I guess one question that I would have for you guys is, if you had an opportunity to open up your own wrestling school with your knowledge and your years in the business, what would be the first thing you guys would look into doing to make sure that the business keeps growing and keeps the young students coming in? What would you guys do with an opportunity like that?
Foundation is the most important, man. So,
For sure.
Training trainers at a that like if anyone out there is looking, FSW is a great school, but if you want to go out there and look, a credible trainer is I feel like the most important. So, if I'm trying to build a school and trying to keep the foundation of pro wrestling in it, you have to have credible trainers that are going to give you the real. Because a lot of people just want the money, and that's fine. Money keeps the lights on, but you got to keep people. Like, not everyone can be a pro wrestler. That's what a lot of people are scared to tell you.
Right.
Is like, everyone thinks they can be a pro wrestler. And there's been people that I've been in that are killing it right now, that I've been in training with, that were told they didn't think they could make it. I'm one myself. I was told I wasn't going to be anything. I was told when I moved to Arizona from Arizona. Joe DeFalco was told I wasn't worth a shit. So it happened. And you can always change mind, but a foundation having credibility that of somebody that's going to tell you the truth is probably a very underrated factor in that.
For sure. And I think just as much as you see guys in the business, they were told that they can't be pro wrestlers, there's also guys that thought they were, and they're in and out. You just watch so many people come and go and think, oh, this is going to be easy, and they go through 30 minutes of training, and then they walk out the door, and they sit down, and they can't hang with what's going on. You know what I mean? It's not a game. What we do out here, you know what I mean? It's definitely hard on the body. It's hard on the mind. It can be very hard on the pockets too. You know what I mean? So everything, your whole life changes if you really dedicate yourself to this. And I think that, like with what my man said, having a credible trainer, and then I think, especially now that we have, we've been in the business for a while and we have a lot of connections and people that we've met, I would try to bring on people with the right type of mentality for branching out, for teaching people how to do the social media game. Like, that's something that we learned a little bit later than other people. You know what I mean?
Shout out to Chris Bay on that.
Yeah, shout out to Chris Bay. Kevin Cross. Like, shout out to the homies, man. Like, people that are ahead of the game and that are thinking forward. You know what I mean? I would try to get credible producers, people that can show you, you know what I mean, what you need to do, like, to cut a promo. You know what I mean? Like, how you need to present yourself and how to make yourself larger than life. Like, there's so many aspects that go into it that I think that you really need a solid team if you're going to try and put the perfect thing out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, look, we're going to start to wrap it up, but I got to ask you, Sugar Brown, I got to ask you, MC, right?
Yes, sir.
Who was your influence you listened to get you in the rap game?
Oh, man, I have so many, bro. You opened a floodgate, bro. Uh-oh. That's like asking me who I'm influenced by in wrestling. It's so many people, man. But Tupac, Snoop, when I was really young.
Okay.
Dre. Like, I was influenced really heavy off of the West Coast. And
sure.
Death Row and stuff.
Yeah.
I was really influenced by Nas, mm-hmm. Biggie, Outkast, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah.
And Corrupt.
Oh, you are. It's you so West Coast.
Many. And even, yeah, like, and it, even today, man, I mess with, like, Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole.
Yeah.
Schoolboy, like, yeah, TDE and Dreamville. I really like what they're doing.
Yourself, man, we got the R&B song.
Right.
Yeah, shout out. Hopefully I'm gonna get y'all a single pretty soon, man.
Yeah,
hit y'all with the R&B intro. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm talking about. Let me ask you this, and then I'm done. What do you think about this mumble rap we got nowadays, man? What do you think of that?
I mean, it's really hard to say, man, because that's like, it's funny because I look at, especially having dabbled in both areas, like, mm-hmm. I look at rap and I look at wrestling a lot the same. Like, a lot of what's going on is waves, you know what I mean? And I think it's just the youth expressing themselves in the way that they want to express themselves or how they feel, you know what I mean? Gotcha. I don't think it's for everybody, but I do think that there's some credible dudes out there that do mumble rap or that
I mean,
kind of...
like categories, man, like different categories. Like 21 Savage is considered that, but I mess with some of his songs.
Right.
Get to them sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think that, I mean, there's guys out there that don't really care much for the art form, so they just kind of doing whatever they doing for money and for views and for popularity.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But then the guys take what they do seriously and respect the craft and all that. And I mean, there's some good young talent out there, man.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
And I suppose, Clutch, your influence was Vanilla Ice.
Mm. Matt, go back over there and sit down, man. Let me talk to the fellas, man.
I'm Miss Miss Schools.
Nah, quit playing, man. His favorite rapper is Tech N9ne, man.
Yeah, Tech N9ne.
There you go.
But no, I mess with Miss School, man. He don't get props. He don't give him his props no more, man.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that Lil Jon. Like, I like the Crunk. Like, I like that era, man.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like that kind of stuff, but I feel you on the mumble stuff, man. Like, I just feel like, just like pro wrestling, if you respect the craft,
yeah,
you should be able to have the freedom to do it the way you do it, you know. But if you don't, then get out.
Exactly. And you guys talked about having your social media game on lock now. So, how can people reach you and find out all the info?
You can catch us on Instagram at The Bonus Boys.
_RMB.
I forgot my man changed it. you can reach us at thebnsbyz@gmail.com for bookings. Okay. We're also on Facebook, Sugar Brown or Clutch Cusera. You can find us under there, and on Twitter.
At Mr. Molly Watt and at Sugar Brown KO on the Twitter.
Okay. Well, there we go. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us.
For sure, man. It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure, fellas.
Real Money Brothers, the Bonus Boys. Awesome. Thank you much.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome, guys. For sure.
Vegas,
that voice of podcasting,
holding you down since day one, January 2019.
The hottest podcast in the universe.
There's like 1,000 podcasts.
Vegas Bad Boys, day one, say.
Different, thoughts, outrageous,
interview,
exciting,
interesting,
intriguing,
amazing,
funny, intergalastic.
Bad Boys.
If you haven't listened to all of our podcasts, take a listen of what you might have missed. JTG.
Shad and I. Shad was the big guy. Is it the same size? One is a little bit fatter, right?
Yeah.
One is cut. Yeah. One is kind of like pudgy.
Yeah, that's Angelo. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of similar to me, Shad. Yeah, I'm kind of like the...
Al Snow.
Well, yeah, I did. I actually wrote a book. I also, just so you guys know, I do magic for the blind.
Wow.
My way of giving back to the community, you know, is let me tell you, it's like, is this your card? And it's like, I don't know. And you're like, it is. Ta-da. Like, oh my God, I do it.
Jeff Cobb.
You know, I don't plan to wrestle into my late 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, like, you know. And, but, you know, again, I say that now, but...
Right.
it's like the weirdest addiction ever, you know? Like,
yeah, we know. B. Brian Blair.
All of a sudden, I look in the mirror, and Terry's, you know, spanking his woody on top of the back of Coco's ass. With his pants ripped, and I'm going, oh my gosh, man, we're going to prison.
Vicky Guerrero.
you know, you are definitely in our minds a Hall of Famer. Because
I'll give you $5 later, guys.
Theo Landers.
How do you guys do this? Are you guys in like a recording studio, or are you guys in a home studio?
Hey, you don't contact WWE Creative and ask them how they write Raw, do you?
We're all in a bathhouse right now.
RVD.
If I hit a squirrel with my car, it would totally ruin my day. I mean, I was like, I'd get out of the car and I'd try to save it, you know. And
Selena De La Renta.
When you say Selena at work, Selena in real life, it's about the same. It's the preparation for my everyday life. It's about the same, my preparation for MLW. The only thing is I need twice the amount of makeup and probably tighter dresses. But
Nick Aldis.
I do love Vegas, and you know what's funny is that, like, the first time I went was actually for TNA when I debuted at the Main Event Mafia. I'd never been to Vegas before then.
Wow.
I mean, in many ways, it's really the showbiz capital of America.
Yep.
You know, like, there's so much show business going on there all the time. I just love that vibe.
Vegas Bad Boys, a podcast, has over 50 interviews, and they keep on coming. Make sure you subscribe. Keep listening. Write a review about our podcast. Come to our live event. Participate in our contest. Like our social media. And most importantly, tell all your family and friends about us. We're Vegas born, and we are Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.